Welcome to the Native Diamond Podcast.
Oh, shit! What you waiting for?
What's going on, everyone? Seth McCare, back at it again with a new podcast episode. I hope everyone had a great holiday break. I hope you got to hang out with some family and, just enjoy each other's company. Hopefully you reached out to some friends even. Did the whole gift exchange. I always feel bad about this time of the year. I always mean to buy a gift for all my friends some way or another. This year I had something in mind, but kind of fell through. What I was looking for when I went on my mountain trip was to find like little giftable things, but honestly, like, I didn't see any of those types of gifts. They just were selling, you know, full size, really expensive gifts. So that was kind of tough, but you know, it is what it is. Hopefully you got to exchange your gifts, have fun, eat a great meal, and do all that. Hopefully it wasn't too bad for you. Sorry, I'm still getting over some type of sickness. I was kind of laid up all week, but you know, I just mainly just hope everyone had a good holiday. I know it's tough, and hey, we all got through it. It's a new year, 2023. It's gonna be weird to say for a couple days or weeks, but honestly, it's refreshing going into a new year. I mean, I was laid up all weekend. Like, I was having stomach pain. I don't know. It was just like a stomach bug or something. Like, I ate some bad batch of chili beans or some shit. I don't know. It was painful. And I think this year I need to focus on eating more greens and stop with the bullshit. Stop eating all this rich, hearty, tomato, acid-based, fucking spicy, high-fat, heavy carbs. You know, there's a reason I look the way I do. It's because I can't stay away from those carbs, man. That shit is my go-to. Especially being a chef, man. It's just easy. It's just easy to grab a starch and snack on that sometimes. Ooh, dinner roll. Boom. Cornbread. Boom. Somebody's got some pastry laying around. Boom. Easy. But anyway, I think we're all going to make our resolution to eat better going into this next year. Concentrate on some health. I'm truly going to try to stay away from drinking after my birthday. Leading into it, though, I'll try to take it easy. You know, life isn't one big party. You can't just suck them down all the time. That sounds terrible. You can't just drink alcohol all the time expecting good results. I need to take my own advice right now so my nose doesn't fall off my face like Pinocchio. I drink way too much. And I mean, you know, I've been cooking my whole life, so that's always been my excuse, I guess. But I've always been around alcohol and drinking and stuff like that. That's very normal. In my day-to-day, what I see, who I'm around, that kind of thing. Not saying that's an excuse at all. I guess what I'm saying is just so normal, you know, amongst family and friends, like lifetime friends. Sorry, guys, I'm dying. All this congestion, dude, like, I'm finally, like, clearing up, which is good. I know it probably sounds like hell. I have a very hoarse. It's always been a weird way to describe something. I got a hoarse throat. Because I just think of a horse, like a riding horse. But, you know, maybe going to the mountains helped me kick it or start. I don't even know. But definitely had some stomach shit going around. So it's been a tough weekend. I mean, hell, I wasn't even walking around Friday or Saturday. I was just so fucking just tired. I don't know if I had COVID. I didn't get tested. I was going to be off for a couple of days. So I was like, I'm just going to ride it out. I shouldn't be contagious by the time I get back to work, which is tomorrow. So good for fucking me, right? But I hope you guys are still listening, hanging out with me. I know coughing isn't the best way to start a podcast, but here we are. 2023, we're getting over the old, bringing in the new. But anyway, I'm kind of touching on this, like, mountain trip or going to the mountains. I don't know what phrase I said, but I was alluding to what I wanted to share, my mountain trip to Gatlinburg, Tennessee for Christmas. I know I had talked about going on the last podcast, so I figured I would follow up and, you know, just talk about it from what I saw and what I would recommend. Gatlinburg, I think the cool thing about Gatlinburg is if you've been to Myrtle Beach, it's like Myrtle Beach in the mountains, basically. And I'm sure people will say that to describe Gatlinburg all the time who know Myrtle Beach. But I just feel like a lot of people know Myrtle Beach. That's a very popular once-a-year destination if you're from the South and you're coming from North Carolina or whatever and you have a gang of kids to entertain. I mean, Myrtle Beach, boom, that's where you go. I grew up going to Myrtle Beach as a kid, and really it's more like that grown-up type beach. That beach you go to in high school or even senior week, that was the main claim to fame with Myrtle Beach. You know, once you graduated high school, you'd go there and act like Floribama Shore, Jersey Shore, or whatever, and act crazy. And, you know, Gatlinburg basically reminded me of that, but not so much like I didn't really see like the partying side so much, but like just that strip of like terrible gift shops and, you know, fucking an expensive way to eat a burger, you know, just a lot of tourism. But, you know, you instantly get that vibe when you see a Ripley's, Believe It or Not. You're like, okay, Believe It or Not, I see what's going on here. You know, like, this is fucking, you know what you're getting out of it. Because Ripley's is just that, I know I'm in the most touristic, or is that even, I'm in a very tourist-driven destination. It's the best way to put it. I'm at fucking Ripley's. Believe it or not, there's a shark in this aquarium. You know, like, it is kind of magical, kind of sad, kind of expensive, and I don't know, that's all I got. But it's a great way to spend a fuck ton of money. Ripley's, Believe It or Not. It's a great way to do it, though. Yeah, because we were just walking around when we first got on the strip. $20 to park, by the way. If you can find a parking spot or a parking lot to be open. A lot of them were filling up fast and they had to just basically close them off. So $20 to park and then you're just walking up and down this road. There were some nice spots though, I'm not gonna lie. I'm like totally fucking blanking right now, but you know, there's a nice steakhouse I remember. It was like Berg's Steakhouse, like Gatlinburg. It was really expensive. It had like you pick an entree and you get to go through the buffet or some shit. I just didn't want to pay $26 for like a burger, so I skipped, but I'm sure it's great. And you know, the buffet looked pretty cool. We just went in there to grab a drink, so it wasn't whatever, but going out of there, we walked by Old Smoky Moonshine, which you definitely got to go, especially, you know, if you're from the South, you got to have some shine. You got to try that. And it's like the first legal moonshine distillery in Tennessee, maybe. Definitely not the first, but the first legal one. So that's kind of cool, you know. I did see there was like a brewery. Maybe it was Gatlinburg Brewery. But it was right there, smack in the middle of like this Y-shaped intersection. And I didn't make it over there. I wanted to really badly, but I saw they had pizza and stuff. But shout out them. Hopefully, you know, it's good. Hopefully it's a good recommendation to check out. I don't know. I mean, there's not much to do like for, well, for me at that time, because it was borderline shitty weather as far as like it was just freezing and then it was like kind of raining and freezing rain. It was just kind of like that situation. And I believe it had just snowed the day or two before we got there. But we stopped in at Old Red. And that was dope. That's like Blake Shelton's bar. I think he has like a new bar show. And they're filmed in Old Red. But it's just basically this huge like venue looking thing. Two-story venue. And it's a restaurant. It's pretty cool. The guy who was playing there when we got there, he was fucking killing it. I mean, he was absolutely amazing. I thought the radio was on when we walked in because he was that good. And, yeah, shout out Old Red. I mean, they had other restaurants there like Margaritaville, Landshark, Bar and Grill. And I'm not sure. I'm sure there was more. It was kind of packed, to be honest. I mean, it was Christmas traffic, plus all the people there to visit for Christmas. People were like walking almost in the road. So, you know, it was definitely packed. I didn't realize that was a huge attraction at Christmas time. But I don't know. Would I do it again? Honestly, yeah. It was actually pretty cool. There's, you know, because I'm sure there is, I just haven't been there, but, I'm sure there's other nice places to go during the holiday season. I think what it boils down to is our restaurants going to be open for Christmas. And of course they are, you know, because in the service industry, most of them work holidays and they might have, you know, either Thanksgiving or Christmas, you know, is going to be off. But, you know, most time, unless you're lucky or something, you know, they're going to be open during those times, unfortunately, because, you know, people don't want to cook. They want to, you know, have a convenient trip with the family. You know, you get it. So there's that. Yeah, thank God I was off. I'm actually liking my new job for that. I get to observe holidays I've never been able to observe before. So I'm not going to complain about that. that. I feel like that's a plus. It's definitely a plus if you could find a job that's like that. But yeah, it's just different, I guess. I'm kind of still shocked, I guess, because I'm not used to being off for holidays. So, I mean, that's really awesome. Not gonna lie. Never had it. So, first timer over here. We got a first timer. And yeah, that's really dope. The cabin that we had up there, by the way, was awesome. You should definitely rent a cabin on like Airbnb that has a hot tub in the winter time, unless you're scared of hot tubs and staph infection and all those terrible things that can happen from getting in a hot tub. If you don't have that fear, you should definitely book a cabin with a hot tub when you go on your mountain winter trip. But anyways, it was good to, you know, get out. And I mean, honestly, getting back home is always nice too. It's always hard for me, that final stretch of vacation, of reality sinking back in, that, oh shit, I have to go back to reality. And you know, that's always the, you know, that shitty adult feeling that we get after having a perfect couple of days, if not at least one good day, you know. But anyway, enough about this mountain trip that you didn't go on. I just want to share Gatlinburg, definitely a check. You know, if you think about going, didn't really get to do the spooky shit that I wanted to do, obviously, because it was about really just hanging out with my wife, you know, trying to create memories and not, you know, go there with an agenda, I guess. But anyway, anyways, I was having a hard time this morning. Well, actually, for the past couple of days, because of fucking debit card fraud. Okay, if you're someone who does debit card fraud or credit card, I think you're an ass. Sorry. We could have been friends, but, you know, if you're doing fraud, man, you're just, it's not a victimless crime. Like, it fucking sucks, because you have to wait on that new card to come, and then you just put up, I just feel like I'm in financial purgatory. Thank God I have some cash. That's why you got to keep some cash for shit like that. Card might have to be canceled, and then you're fucked, and then you can't do shit, which is totally fine, but I'm just saying, the fraud shit is annoying. But anyways, if you're still here, I do appreciate it. A lot of football was to be played this past weekend. I'm not gonna get too much into the details because it's not really a sports podcast, but some crazy fucking games, I'm not gonna lie. Ohio State missing that field goal kick, oh my god, that was crazy. Missed the kick, could have been them, could have been you. It could have been you. Tennessee upset Clemson. I mean, that was pretty wild. Pretty fucking wild. But those games were like low-key. Well, I don't know. It wasn't bad. That Georgia game was pretty wild, but the Tennessee-Clemson game was pretty uneventful. Just like this podcast. Just uneventful. Just here. Just pissing in the wind. Like, nothing really going on with that. It was kind of boring, not gonna lie. Super bored with it. And then, you know, NC State losing, you know, I hate to say it, but I was actually kind of pulling for y'all. The Duke Bowl. Who knew that you would have a major football sporting event to be named after Duke's mayonnaise? And then they dump Duke's mayonnaise on the winner's coach's head as a victory. That doesn't feel like a victory. Fucking mayonnaise. Like, I can like drink ranch, but I could not eat raw on its own stock mayonnaise. Just a big spoonful of that shit, trying to bottom that down. That just seems like torture. That seems like a skit that they would have done on Fear Factory for people with like a mayonnaise phobia. I wonder if there is. I bet there's a mayophobia. Mayophobia. Fear of eating a big glob of mayonnaise. That just sounds like a thing. It's got to be. It definitely should be a thing. I was watching Seinfeld like last night, but I thought it was pretty insane how, like, just how much times have changed, I guess, obviously, but, you know, that was a huge show in the 90s. And I remember growing up, my dad always, like, watched it when it was on. It was a very, like, popular show. Of course, you had your, you know, you had your Seinfeld, you had your Full House, you had maybe Sabrina the Teenage Witch, maybe you had some Family Matters, Fresh Prince. God, there's so many good ones, though, but I feel like there was more, like, classic, notable sitcom type television. And I don't know, Seinfeld was like one of the most successful ones, I'm sure. I'm pretty sure they like won Emmys. But I mean, it's pretty hilarious, you know, not coming from New York or being in the city ever. I feel like it's like relatable still. Even though I've like never been there, I feel like that's how, you know, that's how a New Yorker would act and react to shit. So I don't know. Maybe that's stereotypical. I'm not sure. But it was just pretty wild that, you know, the 90s was just a lot of teal and purple and fucking, I thought, you know, I just think it's cool that they still had like tape recorders and videotapes and stuff like that. You know, this generation coming up, like kids being born now, will never see that type of technology really unless someone presents it to them or whatever. They watch a movie with that in it, but like they'll never experience that. So I think that's pretty crazy. Fucking Seinfeld, man. That, what a classic show growing up. And it's just weird to watch shows as you get older because you catch all the little nuance and phrasing that you probably would have skimmed over as a kid. So I wonder, like, what was like your TV show growing up? Just curious. Anyway, I want to get to the story because I've just been small talking here. I know some of you aren't here for the small talk. Maybe you're here for the ghost story because, yeah, I'm trying to do more ghost stories now. Why? Because I love fucking scary stories. I love hearing them. I love looking them up. I love, you know, just getting up and trying to find, you know, some kind of story for, you know, the show now. I just feel like it's more fun when you have a connection to the location of, you know, where the ghost story is being told or whatever, the plot. I figured, why not do my hometown, which is Albemarle, North Carolina. And it's basically an extension and the Uwharries, which is kind of weird. Doesn't really feel like a mountain town, but, you know, you go to the Uwharries, you go to like more mountain, that area. You kind of seen, you know, that side of North Carolina, that scenery. It's actually really, really nice to be out there. Just feels the most untainted, and you're not seeing city buildings everywhere. You know, to some, hey, I get it. Not for you. But I enjoy being outdoors and being in the outdoors. So, you know, shout out the Uwharries. That's all I'm saying. Like, if you're in Albemarle and you're into outdoor shit, there's a whole ass lake right down the road. So but anyway, you know, Albemarle is not what you would call a party town. It is not St. Petersburg, Florida. It is not Savannah, Georgia. Maybe one day. It has a very low cost of living, which is causing a lot of, you know, a huge increase in, you know, people building and moving in and, you know, just coming into a smaller town. But it's just growing a lot. Like, I was just looking at this article and they just approved 3,000 homes into the city. So that's a huge, huge growth in the past year or two. I'm not sure. Maybe a time frame would make more sense. I mean, that's a huge spike, but I remember him saying 3,000 and I was taken back. So pretty cool. But it is kind of a growing town. When I grew up as a child, I remember it being kind of like a ghost town. Not much going on, not much to do, that sort of thing. So honestly, to see, you know, a town from like the 20s, basically, 1920s, to see it 100, you know, years later, to be, you know, it's going to be a thriving city. It's going to be just a quaint, well, more than quaint. It might even be comparable to Asheville one day. You know, give it like 10 years and it'll be your next boutique little mountainy town, I'm sure. But anyway, enough about my hometown. I could talk about it all day. It's not a bad place to live. I finally work back in the area, so it's nice. It definitely has that hometown feel. I love it. I love the small town situation. I love, you know, knowing people that are pleasant. Not everybody's pleasant. It's just like everywhere else. But it definitely doesn't feel like so much like you have to play defense when you're going out, if that makes sense. But anyway, let's get to the story. Our story takes place at the old Opera House. Opera House. I don't know why I said it like that. But it's an old opera house in Albemarle on Main Street. And it is actually now a jewelry store that's one of the oldest family-owned ones in Stanley County, apparently. And I'm just going to read this article that I found. It's a piece that Queen City Hometown did. I guess where they go to hometowns maybe up to an hour away from Charlotte. And just kind of talk about them, I guess. I'm not really sure like what they do. I'm sure it's all in the name QC Hometown. They go into hometowns everywhere and they're just fucking, you know, trying to dig up some stories. So anyway, this article starts off, it's rarely obvious and almost always unexplained, the sense or unshakable feeling that even though nothing is there, something or someone may be looking. From the time I came to Albemarle in the 1960s, just visiting, stories were there, said Chris Bromlett. Chris runs the oldest family-owned jewelry store in Stanley County. Their upstairs neighbor has been around as long as they have. There hasn't really been anything going on here since about 1917, said Chris. An old opera house shuttered in 1917 when the flu pandemic hit. I don't doubt anything, said Chris. Carved into the wall is an imprint of a forgotten door that was created when the mortuary ran out of room for the caskets. The doorway was cut in there, pointed Chris. It's not just at the opera house where stories swirl. We can be receptive to whatever might be there, says Susan Sharples. Susan has collected the stories of Albemarle for years. Over at the Snuggs house, the oldest house in Albemarle, she has plenty of stories. Then she came inside and the train was not going there. Wait, what? Did I miss something? Oh, okay. So this is a story from Susan. Then she came inside and the tree was not going and there were no lights on, said Susan, telling the story of a woman who saw all the lights on in the house one night. But when she opened the door and walked in, nothing was turned on. It is a house with some very interesting activities, said Susan. But there's one incident that still gives her chills. While taking a tour, someone makes a joke about a picture of one of the people who lived there. We all chuckled. And then, as he started to leave, he walked under the light and the bulb exploded over his head, remembered Susan. The shattered light bulb missed his head by inches. I definitely had goosebumps. I will never forget seeing that light explode, said Susan. As for the opera house, it said that during the late evening hours, certain stories can be heard. I have heard music and I did not know where it came from, said Chris. Unexplained, yes. Eerie, absolutely. Haunted is the question. I believe that anything can happen, and it certainly happened right here in this space, in this building, said Chris. So next time when the moon is out and that feeling creeps in, maybe someone is in fact looking back. Okay, that's the end of that article. But anyway, well-written article. Good job, Maureen Wertz. That was actually written this year for a Halloween piece. But that's really cool. So this is kind of recent. I didn't pull it from 1990 whatever the hell. But yeah, I really think it's cool that, you know, if you're into like this type of thing, just get some type of physical response, I guess, is really cool. You know, because that's your like evidence, I guess, of the afterlife, the paranormal, if you will. It's really interesting though, and obviously probably why it's haunted. Simple fact of, damn, sorry, I can't scroll. But the simple fact of it said that as the flu was going on, they had to make room above the opera house, or was it below or above? I don't know. But there's a doorway that was cut to just throw a bunch of caskets in, which is crazy. Because, yeah, like, that's how we know, like, most hauntings happen. Maybe the spirit is in the afterlife and they're not really catching closure or whatever. Which kind of makes me think, like, is that why we, like, always need closure in real life? Because, you know, you're looking for that closure in the afterlife as well. Maybe that's why we, you know, try to detach from things while we're living and not, you know, necessarily have bad blood and stuff like that. Be free from, you know, guilt or maybe shame or whatever it is. I think it's crazy. I mean, I would like to have more stories from Albemarle. I'm sure there is more. I was trying to look around, but I didn't really see a whole lot. You know, but it is an old, like, mill city. Just, you know, the railroad cuts right through there. The house that I grew up in actually was kind of haunted. I lived in an older brick house, very close to the main road in Albemarle, you know, very close to downtown. And I don't know, I just believe it, man. It's very kind of, it's a very scary place. Sorry, I'm just trying to find more things maybe I can click on. But yeah, I mean, Albemarle is not the easiest to get a ghost story from, I'm feeling like. I'm just getting a lot of your typical, like, Halloween, make your Halloween plans in Albemarle, you know, just like going off the rip of whatever I'm searching. But yeah, I mean, I definitely feel on the afterlife. I feel like here recently, I've just been thinking about it a lot more, you know. Who doesn't think about dying, obviously? In some way or another. Not like in a creepy, like, I think about dying every day. You know, it's not like that. I feel like I'm dying right now. I'm dying to talk. dying to get this message out. But yeah, I've been thinking about the afterlife a lot more, probably due to the fact of, you know, doing mushrooms at some point in my life. You know, that's when I started to be like, oh shit, maybe there's more, you know, or, you know, just growing up, experimenting, doing shit you're not supposed to do. I'm not sure if I'm cool enough to talk about myself like that yet. I really don't. It's like you want to throw out your business because you see famous people do it all the time, but I'm not famous. I don't know if my career could rebound from a scandal because I haven't necessarily proven my worth enough to just tell myself. But I will say I ate a couple mushrooms one time, and I just truly believe that there's more. And I truly believe there's, you know, constantly spirits inhabiting whatever building maybe you're in, or property, whatever the attachment is. I believe in all that. You know, I'll try to tell as many ghost stories as I can find, you know, per episode. Like I said, I really wanted to do my hometown, maybe just to do a little bit of research. I didn't realize that was an opera house, but that makes sense. And I don't know what the deal is, but the more I look into hauntings, the more I realize that, like, theaters and, you know, those types of buildings are generally haunted more. Maybe it's because it's like energy that's, you know, shared, and so all the emotions and all those connections. Because I just feel like when spirits have like an emotional attachment, that's what you remember, you know? Like, you always remember how someone made you feel. Like, I couldn't tell you everyone's name, but I can damn sure tell you the names of the people who fucking pissed me off, or the names of the people that I love. It doesn't have to be aggressive. It could just be that simple. So yeah, there's those things. But anyway, I'm just kind of spitballing here, but, you know, I am looking forward to this new year. I think I'm not really sure where the podcast is going to take us. I just really enjoy, like, doing it. It's good to get consistent with it again. I'm looking forward to it every week, you know. But, you know, it's not scripted. So, you know, hopefully I get better about coming up with shit, but at the same time, I don't want it to be too scripted in a way to where I can't just talk, you know. I feel like I've always tried to keep this thing, you know, through X, Y, and Z and hit these bullet points and all that, but some of the best conversations are just on the fly, you know, on the spot. And depending how I feel that day, you know, depends on which road we're going to take that day, I guess. But, I don't know. I just had a good time this holiday break. You know, it had its moments. It had its ups and downs for sure. There was those moments where, you know, I was anxious or sad or surprised, you know, all the emotions hit. Happy through sad. Only sad because I come from a bad, like, childhood that I'm still, you know, dealing with and all that. So this time of the year, even though I'm like 31, which is weird, but, you know, who knew that, you know, childhood things could you know, stay with you for the rest of your life. But, you know, it's just something that you have to try to get over and deal with. The holidays definitely don't help it at all, because it's just constant, you know. I mean, you start with, like, Halloween. So, like, if there's kids involved, you have Halloween. You got Thanksgiving. You got Christmas Eve. Then you got Christmas. Then you got that break in between till New Year's. So, plenty of time to drive your loved ones crazy is all I'm trying to say. There's a lot of time off from school. So, yeah, if kids are involved, there's a lot of time there. A lot of time for drama or whatever. Whatever it is. But it's not all bad things. I don't want to give off that impression. I mean, you know, I feel like you learn a lot about yourself being around children, you know, nieces, nephews, that sort of thing, or your own, you know, if you're that blessed and you have children. I don't know. I mean, it's just definitely a life lesson. I've kind of learned that in this point. I've learned this before, but sometimes it takes some affirmations for me, or me just vocalizing it or saying it out loud or whatever it is. But, you know, like, everything in life is usually either a lesson or a blessing, you know. Sometimes it's there to teach you a lesson, or it's there for you to benefit. You know, that's awesome too. So, kind of sad right now in a weird way, because vacation is definitely over. I'm enjoying this last day, just chilling, really. Just wanted to do this podcast, probably play a little guitar and hang out. I mean, just going to ride out my last day of vacay. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for hanging out today. If you made it this far, you know how I feel about that. It's great. I'm looking forward to this year, and I hope you guys are too. My birthday is later on this month, so, you know, I'm not going to lie and be like, oh, let's do the old sober January, because that's not happening. I'm telling you right now. But I believe in moderation. You know, I think I'm not going to drink as much. Like, through the week, I'm just not really into it as much. I've been trying to save it for the weekend, unless I just have a complete shit day, which is not good either. But I'm just going to be honest and real, you know. You know, alcoholics say there's always a reason to drink. You know, because if I'm having a bad day, fuck it, I'm getting drunk. If I'm having a good day, fuck it, today was great, let's party. So, you know, got to get out of that kind of mindset. That's not going to help everything, obviously. Doing things in moderation. Ah, so beneficial. I'm really, really liking that concept here lately. Getting better about it too. You know, just drinking at the right time and place, and, you know, not just doing it all the time, you know. Trying to give my body a break. This year, I'm going to try to focus on at least eating better. I'm not going to make any promises like I'm gonna go to the fucking gym and I'm gonna bust out 100 push-ups every day, you know. I'm not, because I kind of had that expectation last year. I mean, I just fucking blew it. I mean, I did good. I like had a stretch of like I was working out every day. I don't know, that probably lasted for 4 months actually. I'm surprised I made it to 4 months. But I was, like, eating shit. I was just, like, bulking unhealthy. And and that was just a bitch. So, I mean, oh my God. When you bulk unhealthy, dude, you just feel like your dad bod is just getting bigger. You know what I mean? Like, you're not benefiting. Like, I was not, like, I didn't look yoked. I just looked like I had too many Busch Lights, you know? I just looked like a fucking, I don't know. I just looked like I was just getting wider, and not in a good way. Fluffier, chubbier. But anyway, fuck it. Feel how you feel. Look how you look. Be happy with it. It's a new year. It's time to start something different. I'm sure you'll have your own struggles and whatever will come this year. But you know what? We made it through another year. So treat yourself. If you listen to this, treat yourself today. Do something for yourself. Fuck it. Do something for yourself. You made it through another year. You made it through a new year. Wait. You made it through another year. It's a new year. It's time to start fresh. If you had a shitty year, fuck it. That was last year. Now it's time to start fresh. I hope you guys all kill it this year, man. I love y'all. Thanks for tuning in. Hopefully I get some new ghost stories for y'all next time. I'm going to do a little bit of research also. I've been on vacay. I'm not going to lie. Been in vacay mode. I'm sure once I do this a little bit more often, the stories will come out even better. So appreciate y'all. Hope y'all have a good one. Happy fucking new year. I hope y'all kill it. Peace and love. Shine on.
Shine on. Shine on.
Hell yeah.